Good afternoon, everyone. I am Randy Christman, Chair of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchuk. I don't have any opening comments for this. By the way, this is an informal hearing for Xcel Energy's application to amend an old order, PU-07-776, regarding advanced determinations of prudence. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, did you have anything in advance?
No, I don't.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, okay.
Commissioner, I'll just specify, so we do have a current case number for this as well.
Oh, and so it is now PU-23-366. And I'm going to mention the commissioners. I'll go around the room, have everybody say their name and titles in the microphone for the record, please.
John Hsu, Advisory Council for the Commission.
Adam Renfant, staff.
Alex Nesbitt, I'm a regulatory policy specialist with Xcel out of our Fargo office, and I believe I might have two people on the line with me from the company if they wanted to introduce themselves right now as well.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Matt Harris, Managing Attorney, State Regulatory with Xcel Energy.
Good afternoon, Benjamin Halama, Revenue Requirements for NSP Minnesota.
Leif Clark, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Okay, I want to emphasize this is an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed facts. If anything comes up that is disputed, we'll have to stop this and reschedule and do a formal hearing. The applicant goes first, so I'll turn it over to you, Alex.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Commission and staff, for having me here today. I listened to the regular meeting that you had today on the drive over, and just wanted to also say thanks for granting the 3-month extension on this. I know that we briefly discussed it then. You did a good job of introducing it, and so did you as well. So this is good timing that it's fresh in people's minds. Something that it's only, and I guess I'll get into the first slide here. So this is a matter that, and just obviously indicated by the date that you're not misreading it, that is an 07 at the start of this. This is an order that would have came out in January of 2019. At the time, it was three different commissioners. It was Susan Wiefold, Kevin Kramer, Tony Clark. That was a different time for sure, but still some of the issues that we had then, we're still dealing with those today. The main reason, or there's a handful of reasons why this appears to be good timing to look at this, is because we have a new integrated resource plan process that's going to be implemented. The North Dakota Admin Code, Century Code, those were revised to include provisions in 2023, and we will be filing our integrated resource plan in about month and a half or so here. The new president of NSPM, Brian, he'll be here on the 23rd of February, so we'll be able to have a good discussion about that. As always, I'm getting the cart before the horse. And also just to sort of point out, if any point in time you have any questions, I'll sort of be jumping back and forth. But yeah, feel free to interrupt me at any point in time if there's anything that I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable with answering or just would like some elaboration on. I'll be deferring to Matt or Benj on the lines. And so this matter, the issues that we're dealing there is the fact that Xcel Energy is a single multi-state integrated system of generation and transmission facilities. And we're in multiple jurisdictions, and these different states have differing energy goals and policies of those respective states. In North Dakota, we have certain principles, thoughts, and then also Minnesota, South Dakota, they have differing plans, procedures, environmental goals, all those things, and that's something that we were trying to deal with during that rate case. Stemming from that, there were some regulatory procedures that came out of it in an effort to ensure appropriate commission involvement and oversight to determine how to best meet the needs of North Dakota customers and recover system-wide cost of providing service. Those two items were the ADP requirement, which is what we're largely going to be discussing today. And then also, I guess that we're going to be discussing both matters because they work very much in unison. The other, the second bullet point there is the Minnesota IRP that we committed to file at that point in time, and then also the North Dakota version that we'd be filing on just an informational basis. The big thing that's been revised since then is the fact that it's no longer informational. We'll be getting into slides later on. There's a great deal of time and energy that will be spent reviewing this integrated resource plan. And we hope, and I'm going to not oversell, I'd like to underpromise, overdeliver on the value of the IRP, just the fact that we can look at two jurisdictions in specific and be able to see where those two plans diverge and be able to look at retirements, resource acquisition, even transmission issues, everything holistically, how we can be doing that instead of bifurcating and splitting it up into several different ADPs with different legal firms, different consultants, and then having to jump around from docket to docket, ADP to ADP, and try to figure out how it all fits together. The hope is to have one holistic document where we're really looking at these, and you can get to the point as far as externalities and those costs and just the differing aspects of the two jurisdictions, providing a more to-the-point forum so that the commission can have their issues heard and influence resource acquisitions on a 5-year, 15-year plan going forward.
And I'm going to ask you a question, and it might not be here or it could be somewhere in this presentation, wherever you want to put it, Alex or whoever. When I read your application and when you just on your second bullet point, the last line, file Minnesota IRP, somewhere in this discussion, I want to understand the process. Like with Minnesota, I've been informed that you filed with Minnesota and then there was supplemental filings and now you're on a new filing. And so one of the things I asked for is I didn't see anything with the prior Minnesota filings. I haven't reviewed anything. So if you have two processes in the states going on at the same time, how are we going to manage that when we don't see it or to, you know, somewhere along the line, I want to understand that process of what's going to get communicated back to us. Meanwhile, it says in your application, the company agreed to provide the commission its Minnesota filed resource plans complete with alternative systems. You can read what it says. So I just want some clarification on that, because we have some history with Minnesota that, so.
Yeah, and so that's a really good question. That's what I've been trying to wrap my head around as well. And also, there's an understanding that this is the first time that we're going to be doing this new integrated resource planning process in North Dakota. I know Otter Tail is a little bit further down the road than we are. But the way that I would understand it working, and I know I think it was it was referred to this morning as well, is that we had initially contemplated doing it in February, but given the fact that we're going to be filing, it's going to be the 2024 to 2040 Minnesota IRP. That'll be filed on February 1st in Minnesota. That's going to be filed. And then after that point, I mean, we've been thinking about all the North Dakota external. I've been on lots and lots of meetings discussing how this works, and we're looking at the two charts as far as what's required in the two different jurisdictions as far as resource planning. We'll see what's picked up in the Minnesota side, what new things, and that's, I allude to it in a slide later on, there's more requirements in the North Dakota IRP process around things like reliability. At least that's what I've been led to believe and understand from Chris Shaw, who's my old boss. I've been just had a good call with him about it last night, even just about pretty much those exact questions as far as what's coming out of this, how is this process going to work together, and I allude to the divergence as well. So this is these are going to be going down. They're sort of parallel processes. We have the Minnesota IRP, and we have the North Dakota filed. With that, we'll have a cover letter, and then we'll have rubrics, charts, other things like that that'll be checking off all the boxes as far as what's required as far as this new IRP process. And we also have to understand, this is iterative. There's lots of powers that the commission has as far as what they can request, what they can look at. And so what we'll initially be filing, it'll have North Dakota preferred plans. And a big thing there is that it'll be removing the externalities. So, and we have had this in the past as far as there's a Minnesota plan, and then, like you said, there's been supplements to their alternates to them in the last IRP, and Matt was heavily involved with that, and I'll maybe let him jump in a little bit to just explain it. But I think where we see this going is that the two will be filed, and that's kind of another point that I'll be making in the context of these ADPs, is that this IRP process will be pretty time-consuming and pretty involved. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have five ADPs already filed and could have 5, 6, 7 more in the next 6 to 12 months, that's a lot of work associated with that. And this process will also have a lot of work associated with it. Chris Shaw and I, we had a meeting with Adam a couple months ago. We talked about just the modeling plans, the sensitivities, what we're going to be looking at in the North Dakota plan versus the Minnesota plan, what's going to be filed in March. It's not a finished product. It's sort of a starting point as far as, yeah, working through that, studying it. Adam, I think you're pretty excited for it, and you'll be pretty active throughout all of it. But as far as just the work that it's going to go into it, it's going to be a lot, and it's going to get to some of these core issues or problems that we've been trying to address in the ADP process. And just the hope is that this is going to be a better forum to holistically look at everything as compared to having different people always referring back to different proceedings, different closures. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And so to look at it all in one document, one forum, that's going to be the hope. And I don't know, Matt, if you maybe wanted to speak a little bit to that as far as just what we've seen in Minnesota and just sort of an elevator pitch or anything like that. I would be welcome to anything if you wanted to add to what I just stated.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, thanks, Alex. I agree with everything that you just said. And the process that we've gone through in Minnesota historically, and maybe just to provide a little bit of clarification on sort of what the various plans were that we provided in the last resource plan proceeding in Minnesota. But we filed this, I think, in 2019, used a specific type of economic modeling software that we'd been using for years at that point, and then began working with a newer, more refined hourly economic modeling software as opposed to sort of a yearly look at our capacity position on the system. And so we filed a supplemental plan that used that new modeling software, and that took a lot of time to develop and functionally looked like a new resource plan that we were filing at that point in time. We also got a lot of feedback on that second resource plan that we filed at that time, and ultimately in, you know, I think I'm trying to remember the year, 21, I believe, is when we filed it. We filed a third version of the resource plan. And so, you know, this is a pretty protracted proceeding. And that third version of the resource plan, with some updated modeling assumptions, most notably taking out our proposed combined cycle plant at Sherco, was what was the basis for the Minnesota Commission's approval of that resource plan. So that proceeding was really protracted. I think it's probably the longest one that we've had for a resource plan in Minnesota, running well over a year and a half, maybe even over 2 years. Ideally, the plan that we're going to be filing in Minnesota soon, at the beginning of next month, won't take anywhere near as long as that one did to be sort of fully vetted and approved or sort of weighed in on by the commission in Minnesota. I think ideally it takes a year. We're not filing multiple plans, to avoid the confusion that comes along with that. And then I think what we envision is the plan that we file in North Dakota gets considered along, sort of that same timeline. The benefit that we've got at this point in time is that we're going to have all of sort of the base modeling assumptions, what our system looks like today, what are the assumptions that we're using for different resources. In both a plan that's filed in North Dakota and a plan in Minnesota, aligned, so that you're not on just a different cadence, which could end up with a little bit of confusion, I think, between what gets approved in one state versus what's approved in another state. And I think that's going to be a really useful process for us, because we'll see the, I frankly, based on a lot of the things that Alex has said, I expect there's going to be differences between, I think we probably all expect there's going to be differences between a plan that gets approved in Minnesota and a plan that gets approved in North Dakota. And then that sets the baseline for, further discussions about what do we do about those differences between our jurisdictions. And I think that that's, that's going to have a lot to for us to chew on. But I think it's going to be a really good basis for thinking about the prudent and reliable planning of our system.
Chris and Alec, will the Minnesota Commission see the model that or the plan that you provide to us without the externalities? Will they see, so we see what they get and they see what we get, so everyone's kind of in the know?
I'm fairly certain, that Minnesota will for sure be filing the entire Minnesota plan in North Dakota, and then I think vice versa. I don't know, Matt, if you have any additional information about that, but it's going to be well known in the other jurisdictions what the North Dakota plan is and preferred plan, and for sure.
I know that they aren't going to consider it, but I do think it's helpful for you guys to show them what you're looking at here so they see, that as well. I mean, we see what you're looking at there.
Yep.
And it's helpful. They need to see the same.
Yeah, and I think we just had the 800-megawatt firm dispatchable proceeding in Minnesota, and with that we bid into three resources into that. One of them is the Bison CT. And so that's something, and it's been discussed in the last IRPs, and it's something that's North Dakota specific. There's some regional components, Black Start, everything else like that, and it's been a longstanding desire of the commission that would be built in North Dakota. So that's something that's just very specific, and I think the North Dakota IRP provisions, it lists out, some of the regional components of it. So that's something that... And I'm still wrapping my head around as far as how things worked in the Minnesota and what came out of the Minnesota IRP process and what necessitated that is that in the last IRP, they looked and said in the 27 to 29 range, there's going to be a need for 800 megawatts of capacity. So stemming from that, like the IRP from Minnesota was sort of a roadmap for some of that. And then also the North Dakota should be able to be in the same vein as well. And I think that this will just far more clearly show the divergences, and it's a signal to the other jurisdiction, and it's for sure a signal to the company as far as what North Dakota is looking at, what it wants on some of those core things like retirements and acquisitions and things of that nature, to have it be on the record. And
I think that's really important for for you guys in Minnesota, so that there aren't surprises if there's something that we don't go along with. You've already made the case for them that this is likely not compliant with North Dakota's criteria, so they can start evaluating how they want to pay for it or how important it is or what alternatives might be feasible to comply with both states' requirements.
Yeah, and do you maybe want to, so we can see Matt on there for, so it's not the slideshow.
Oh, yeah, I'll just piggyback a little bit on what Alex said and Commissioner Fedorchak. You know, we've historically filed with the Minnesota Commission a look at the North Dakota version of a plan. I think on here it says it was an informational filing that aligns with North Dakota law. I think the difference in, and certainly that would be our intent to file in this proceeding as well. The actual plan that we file with, yeah, like the full IRP, I think that we file with you in the coming month or so. The difference this time that I think is really important is that while that was a modeling look that was based on North Dakota law, what we're going to have is your and your staff's actual reaction to that in a record that we can take back to the Minnesota Commission and work through with them. I think in the same way that we've talked in the past with you all about sort of what we're receiving from Minnesota.
Good. I think that's great. It's not going to be easy, but it's a start.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, I think that's important from just a jurisdiction to jurisdiction standpoint, mm-hmm. as compared to the company sort of playing telephone between the two. Yeah. So, thank you. As always, the questions do a good job of leading into sort of beating me to some of the slides, but I'd made reference to this in just my introduction and another little thing. This was attempted to remove this ADP requirement in 2016-2017. Dave Cedarquist was involved. I think two of the three commissioners were on at that point in time, and I actually listened to the work session associated with that, and then I also re-listened to the informal hearing associated with that just to try to familiarize myself. I've just been with the company for 16, 17 months. So some of the history, some of just the, you can read the words on the pages, but understanding sort of the intention of the commission, understanding as well with the company, what these ADPs are supposed to do. That was really helpful for me to go back and listen to the informal that was held in 2017 about this. During that discussion, we brought up potentially seeking a waiver under certain circumstances where we would ask the commission to not file an ADP for various reasons. One was maybe prematurity or the fact that it absolutely wasn't going to get approved. I know at that point in time, Red River Valley 1 and 2, the Hankinson projects, those weren't approved, even though it had gone through a relatively lengthy process with the commission. So the time and energy had been spent on that, and it ended up not being approved or built. Same thing with this 800-megawatt firm dispatchable proceeding. We put in three ADPs with that. Maybe one of the three will get selected and built, maybe none, maybe two, maybe three. It's still relatively premature to be filing those, and we can maybe see a little bit longer as far as how the Minnesota PUC process plays out. And that was kind of a question that was had this morning as far as what does this three-month extension get? This three-month extension gets us at least to see how this process plays out. Maybe we could seek additional extensions just because the first bullet point here, and that was a big point of discussion on the informal hearing from 2017 that I listened to, that two-week timeline, it's really tight. That also stemmed from a 2012 rate case where we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just drifting many, many months in the future and the company was down a path that it couldn't sort of return from. And there still wanted to be visibility and there wanted to be input from the commission as far as these resources that were being approved and built. So that's one aspect of consideration is just the two-week aspect of it, given the fact that we are, we currently have five ADPs in front of the commission and As listed there, we could have five, six, seven more in the next 6 to 12 months. So it's a considerable time commitment. It is, I know, for commission, for staff, for the company. These ADPs, they're not cheap by any means, and they take a lot of time and energy. And not saying that the work will go anywhere, the IRP process will be looking at resource acquisitions, looking at the resource options, timing of the needs, the capacity issues, energy issues, everything else like that. So it's not going to be, the IRP process probably isn't going to be a silver bullet, but as compared to having to send in a $175,000 check, do testimony, do applications, do that many, many times over the next 6 to 12 months. I don't think it's getting to the initial intent and purpose of this ADP requirement, which was to give the commission a good heads up as far as what was going to be coming down the road from the company, from a resource acquisition standpoint, whether it's transmission or generation. And also I think it was to provide input to the company as far as what North Dakota was hoping to see. And now we have the IRP process largely gets to those, the main issues that we're seeing there. And it's very well understood. And I think now that it's been formalized through legislation and the Century Code and the Admin Code, having the language in there as far as externalities and just overall what's going to be coming out of this, I think it far better articulates the concerns jurisdiction to jurisdiction than what we've been able to see so far. So that's kind of what, and we filed this December 29th, right before New Year's, and it was just, we really wanted to get it in because we don't want to be non-compliant with the 07 order by not filing ADPs. And I know in the last informal discussion that was had 6 years ago, it was thrown out by one of the commissioners just whether or not we could seek, just sort of tell you that we'd maybe file this at a later, it was Commissioner Culk, but we would maybe file these at a later point in time. But we want to have your involvement, and we don't want to do things like that. We would prefer to comply with the order, and also even the concept of the two-week requirement, two-week commitment, that's just a little letter. That's not actually formalized in an order as well. So there's some interesting aspects of this, and that's realistically what I'm here to try to discuss today is what's most beneficial to the commission and the ratepayers of North Dakota as far as time and energy best spent. I know it's not the resources of the commission and staff. They're not infinite. And this new IRP process will be a time commitment in and of itself. And these...
Alex, can I ask a question? So... I appreciate the company bringing this forward, and you know, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's probably a step in the right direction. My one question, though, is, what do you do with a resource that you don't have any indication from us yet? Can you go ahead and would you go ahead and put it in the rates and hope that we approve it? Like, what if it's something that you're moving quicker than the IRP process? And maybe that's not a situation that we can anticipate happening, but it feels like when this started, there was stuff ending up in the rates, and we didn't have visibility on that. And so this was what the commission at that time came up with, because there was things ending up in the rates that they had no input on.
Yep, absolutely. It's a very good question, and it's something that, I've spent a lot of time thinking about, talking about it internally, talking about it with Vic and Adam. And this slide, it at least just it alludes to it, and I figured we would have this discussion, so I didn't flesh it out. I prefer to not have a ton of words on the page, but there's a big question mark next to ADP. So you asked the question as far as resources throughout this IRP process, or if there's something that we want to approve, implement. As always, we will retain the ability, the right to file an ADP at any point in time. And there'll still be times where we would want to file them because it's a risk to build something and not have clarification from the North Dakota PSC as far as cost recovery in an upcoming rate case or cost recovery through the RER. The TCR is a slightly different beast, and there's been lengthy discussions as far as just in the prior time that we did this. And I've been privy to some since I've been here. Just the fact that that's been heavily vetted through the MISO process, and some of those transmission projects are reviewed, studied, looked at during our TCR application, and the informals that go with that as well. So this is what it would be. And yeah, it's like I said, the question mark next to ADP. If there is something that we're hoping to have built and it's moving along quickly, then we would still have the right to file an ADP. Because otherwise, just the intent of the ADP, that provision in the Century Code, not in the context of our requirement to file an ADP, the intent of that provision was just so that companies could have financial certainty, clarification around construction of a resource.
Okay. And the PPA notification, can you give me an example of what that might be? Like, how often are you guys signing on into new PPAs that you might want to collect through the cost recovery rider? And would that be the renewable, maybe? No, that would be fuel costs. How would you envision, like, how often is that happening, those types of PPAs?
So this, I've been involved with, I think, just one filing. It would have been this last summer or fall we normally do it. And that one, I think it had two or three PPAs in there. They're very minuscule. I think it was for somebody that had rooftop solar. I mean, it was maybe a couple megawatts, but it's very small. And it largely consists of a chart with just a little bit of background as far as the size, the cost, impact to ratepayers, and it's very minuscule. But I know that was something from prior rate cases as far as maybe just a lot of things ending up in the fuel rider.
So, that would be for new PPAs today that are less than 50 megawatts, the company has to file an annual report. I forget exactly when that comes. It's slipping my mind right now, but they file a report whether there's something new or not every year. We've had several years where there's absolutely nothing. The last couple, there's been, kind of like Alex mentioned, some either extensions of existing PPAs or some very minor new ones, and that's our opportunity. So those are essentially new PPAs that went into the fuel and purchase power adjustments since the last report that they provided.
So that's the same. This will be the same.
What's
currently
happening. What they're offering within this is to keep that in place, but expand that to be all PPAs, because there's a distinction, right?
So with the over 50 PPAs.
So right now, the over 50 if it's a new PPA over 50 megawatts, they have to file an ADP.
Okay, that falls into that visibility. Bucket.
So if the commission would grant the removal of the ADP filing requirement, they would commit to providing within that report anything that is new.
And do we have any authority to reject them at that point, or is it just like information?
We would have the continuing jurisdiction to say, okay, we've now been made aware of this. We'll review this and, either ask questions and be okay with it, or ask questions and no, this is not consistent with North Dakota resource planning or our wishes. So we're going to require the company to remove that from the fuel and purchase power adjustment for North Dakota and do any number of things. I mean, we can just straight remove it. There's proxy pricing. There's a whole host of other things that we can do once we decide we don't like that thing, whatever the thing is.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Good question. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, continue on with this. And I think that, yeah, that largely answered, sorry, to back up, did that answered everything?
Yes, it
everything.
Does.
Okay, yep. Perfect.
That's what I was wondering about. Those
I will continue on and go back. And I think we've, back to slide 5, I think we've covered a lot of these high points already. I think that to be able to look at a 15-year standpoint, to be proactive, holistic, forward-looking, the fourth bullet point, to even to have some of those things in writing, and that's just something for, like, I talk about it with Chris Shaw a lot, I talk about it with other people, to have some of those things written down. I think that it helps a lot as far as just understanding how the two jurisdictions work, and as compared to just me, since I've been here, having to piece through prior rate cases, prior ADPs, current ADPs, as far as what we're really trying to get at. I think having some of those items formalized is helpful. Slide 6, don't have to read them in their entirety, but the main, I think these are just directly pulled from the Century Code and the Admin Code. It's language as far as the first one is about the externalities, carbon costs, greenhouse gases. That's the North Dakota Preferred Plan is not going to be looking at that at all. It's going to be looking at it, but we can also have separate runs looking at potential federal legislation, how that would impact it. On to the second italicized quote. This one is quite important because I'm always trying to wrap my head around as far as what comes out of this. I think a big thing is we're going to be obviously looking at the two different jurisdictions. But I think this one, if during an investigation of the IRP, we could request a determination on any issue related to the resource plan. And this would be prima facie evidence and other proceedings such as a rate case. So we'd be going through all this work, and we would seek a determination on something of importance so that it could be looked at in the next rate case. So it's no longer just informational, as was contemplated in 2007 when this two-pronged requirement that came out of that case. Now it's an ability to seek a determination on something that we'll then rely upon, somewhat similar to what we currently have as far as the ADP process. So that one's important. Then also,
so on that, Alex, so when we were talking through this new law with the legislature and kind of getting their, not new law, just expanded, I guess, authority, we spent a decent amount of time talking about what the end product is and didn't necessarily settle on, like, we're going to provide X in the end or, like, a decision. So you saying that, like, you can request, is that the company's plan that you'll request? Do you think you'll request a determination on, like, a thumbs up, thumbs down on the whole thing or, like, pieces of it? And I guess this is getting a little off subject and into the IRP, but it's a good discussion because we're going to be getting into the IRP. So,
No, that's
too early to say.
That's a really good question, and that's something that, I've talked about it with other folks internally. And as always, the words on a page, we'll kind of have to see how it plays out. Or the first couple of times, I've read this through probably 50 times, and each time I see something new, and until we actually go through it, it's tough to tell. But I think that there's always going to be things that need to end up in a rate case anyway, similar to the Sherco solar proceeding that we just went through. With that one, we're still going to have to holistically review that during a rate case. Mm-hmm. So I think, and so that's where, I mean, the ADP process, it hasn't gotten rid of some of those things that we still, and I'm excited to go through my first rate case whenever that does happen, but it just seems like a lot of those issues, they will be reviewed and addressed at that point in time.
That's kind of how I think we're envisioning it, subject to change, where, like, you get an indication, you hear what we're saying, what our concerns are. You get that further in advance, but actually making a decision on resource isn't necessarily what the IRP, like a rate-based decision, that's not necessarily what the IRP is intended to do.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I'm wrapping my head around and coming to the conclusion of as well, is that it's not going to be a silver bullet catch-all where so this is what our system looks like for the next 5 years, and this is cost allocation approach, everything like that. So the IRP will help it a lot, and I do just think, the effectiveness will hopefully be better than what we've had in the ADP. And I think the ADP has been a valuable process, I think a lot of those best components should hopefully be in the new IRP process as well. But just some of those, the hard questions and answers, I think some of those are still going to be left for rate cases. Mm-hmm. Slide 7, I've already touched on a few of these points. The IRP, the North Dakota IRP, under the new provisions, we'll be filing that in March. Some of the key components, reliability will be very important. I think there was a lot of heavy lifting done in the last IRP in Minnesota. This one, it's going to be looking at sort of stemming from that, a little bit more clarity and just understanding, planning reserve margins, the MISO system overall, just what reliability levels we're going to be going for, seeking, and then just there's a pretty extensive and intensive intervener process, lots of stakeholders in Minnesota, so that'll be, I think that'll be kind of the main point, and then I think sort of the bedrock of the IRP is going to be the extension of Prairie Island and Monticello. So to have those firm dispatchable baseload nuclear plants chugging along will be pretty important. So that's sort of a cornerstone of it. Chris Shaw, he'll be joining us as well on that February 23rd, 2024 meeting. Once again, thank you for the commission for agreeing for that. Ryan's really excited to get in front of all of you. I think the IRP will be sort of a big thing that we'll be discussing at that point in time. Chris has told me that he'll be there and he's excited for it and he'll be going through it. So I won't want to ruin not the surprise, but he's told me that reliability will be a key bedrock component of what we're assessing. And that's where I think that the North Dakota, this last summer and fall when we were going through the Minnesota process, I think just some of the additional requirements that are in the North Dakota IRP around reliability, I think we've tried to shoehorn those in as best as possible into the Minnesota process as well. Yeah. So that's the February 23rd meeting, and I've already sort of talked about just the fact that we'll be able to holistically look at it jurisdiction by jurisdiction as compared to just by project to project, to not be bifurcating and duplicating processes. That should hopefully be one of the better aspects of this. So we'll get to slide 8, which is the amendments that we've sought. This 07776 order, if we were to remove the requirement entirely, there would just be a handful. And as always, there might be some discussions around the exact format, maybe some verbiage or the best format of it if there were an appetite to remove this requirement. But when I look through it, it would mainly just be a few words to tweak to just change it from, I think it's is required or may, is must. It would just be revised to a may submit an ADP. And here on this slide, I make the point that it would just put us in the same position as the other two investor-owned utilities in the state, and we would still retain the right and the ability to seek an ADP, just because that's kind of what it's there for in the first place, is a benefit. It's a mechanism for investor-owned utilities to seek some clarity around cost recovery prior to a rate case. So that would be those revisions there. And then we'd also just that I think the language in PU 12813, there's an order adopting that settlement that's dated February 26, 2014. That would just tweak the language as far as under 50 megawatts. It would just be to expand that to anything, but we could look at that language as well. And then, yeah, the last point is, yeah, the three-month extension. I thank you for granting us that extension so we can see how this process plays out. It will give us at least a little bit of time to see how the 800-megawatt firm dispatchable proceeding in Minnesota is playing out, and we'll also have filed the IRP in North Dakota in that time as well. But the main reason for that 3 months was really just to see how this proceeding plays out, and also if this waiver or if this the removal isn't granted, I think just having some discussions around timeliness might be important as well. Just with the 2-week requirement is just it leads to us filing lots of ADPs, and the commission is very busy and the staff is very busy, and it's just it's something to consider. And I know I'd be open for any further discussions on this. I think that largely we already covered that last slide, which is the PSC involvement and oversight, just as far as that was the language that was used in the 07 rate case, was just seeking additional involvement and oversight. And this up there lists all the other means and mechanism that the commission has, with the big question mark next to the ADP, as far as what the intent and purpose of that, and what the usage of it is going forward. So that largely covers it. As always, you've asked good questions, and I think I've pretty much gotten to everything that I would have covered otherwise. So.
Matt or Benjamin, did you have anything else that you wanted to add right away?
Not right away, but thank you, Chair.
Same here. Thank you.
I'll defer to you, portfolio holder.
Well, I know Adam and I discussed this quite a bit last week, and he reached out to you, Alex, for some clarification, so I want to thank you. You covered a lot. I guess I have all my questions kind of already got answered. So,
one more. Just a quick. So, when you file an ADP with Minnesota, tell me, are you required to do that, or are you doing that because you want to? Because what kind of cost recovery is provided by the approval of their IRP their IRPs? Do you have to go through, if something's approved in the IRP, do you need to go back for an ADP, or what triggers you to do an ADP in Minnesota?
I'll answer that one, Alex. That's a really good question, Commissioner Fedorchak. And so I'll just kind of walk you through the process that we have with an IRP and sort of the subsequent actions that come out of it. So there are certain things that just get, theoretically approved in an IRP. So, for example, in the last IRP in Minnesota, we asked for approval of the extension of the Monticello nuclear plant. And that action gave us comfort to go and continue sort of action with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission on it and do some rate making treatment around the Monticello plant in our last rate case. When it comes to specific resource additions, whether it's a PPA or something that we're going to own, the usual process that we go through is the IRP determines, the approval of an IRP determines sort of a need for size, type, and timing of various resources. So it might say, we see a need for 500 megawatts of solar. And then the process that we would go through to acquire that solar would be to put out an RFP into the market that we and other developers of resources would bid into. Our resource planning team would evaluate those bids and then select a portfolio of what we thought was the most cost-effective resources from whatever that sort of results of that RFP were. And then we would take the results of that to the commission and ask for approval of the specific resources in play. And so if it were a PPA, that would then, if it were approved, it would get constructed by that individual company. They may need to seek a certificate of need from whatever state that it's being built in, sort of for further regulatory approval. And then once built and we were an off-taker of it, it would the energy cost would flow through our fuel clause. If it were something that we were building, we would ask for approval of the construction costs of it, and then that goes and gets recovered ultimately through either base rates or a renewable rider.
Got it. Thank you. That's helpful.
So can we use the 800 megawatt firm dispatchable as an example? So you've already you're in the RFP process there?
Yeah, exactly, Commissioner Hogenhoffert. So it got that has a slightly different RFP process, where rather than our team reviewing the bids, it actually gets reviewed by an ALJ and the commission itself for approval of what resources are going to get selected out of it. But that was a need for 800 megawatts of firm dispatchable resources was identified in the resource plan approved by the Minnesota Commission. And then that kicked off the bid process that we're in right now, where bids were submitted early this week.
So on part of the application on page 9, it says the company plans to file proposals in this process going on 5 miles north of Mapleton, North Dakota. So how does that get identified? I'm just curious. If you're in the RFP process, because somebody could say, no, we don't want to do that. You should do this.
Yeah, that's a good question. So that was one of the bids that we submitted, was for that resource. And, it's to be determined whether that ultimately actually sort of makes it through this, bid review process. If it does, then we'll take further actions to construct it. If it doesn't, I think theoretically we could still construct it, but we would obviously have a pretty significant regulatory recovery impediment in Minnesota.
And that is my concern here. When we talk about 800, a generic 800 megawatts of firm dispatchable, that's one thing. What if a few years down the line, one state is saying, you will do this, and the other state is saying, no, we won't go along with that? What are you going to do?
Chair... Chair Christman, I think the way that I think about that is that's not terribly different than some of the resources that we've had recently in front of you and in front of Minnesota. Think about Sherco Solar, for example, where the Minnesota Commission wanted to push us into building that and having that go into rates and frankly having costs shared with North Dakota customers, and you all, I believe, said no to that. And that just becomes something that we have to work through. I think we've been pretty successful in working through that with staff here. I think that, you know, depending on the given resources, we'd have to go back and work with sort of similar stakeholders in Minnesota in the future. To me, that's a little bit of a resource by resource question, and it's you know, potentially going to come to a head. That's, I think, why we were in for a while, sort of a lot of this resource treatment framework discussion that we've, you know, put to the side for now and stopped. But we may end up in a similar situation like that if the plans that are being developed for North Dakota and approved by you, or, you know, that you're sort of weighing in on and saying that's the direction we want to see you go in, diverge significantly from the plans in Minnesota. Ideally, they align, but, you know, that's a little bit to be determined.
Okay. Would you look at page 3 of the settlement? And someone just explained to me the first full paragraph that starts with further background. And I need that explained to me.
Of the application or of the settlement?
The application.
Okay.
Is that, so I assume that part is going away. We've had this requirement that these ADPs on renewables be for things in North Dakota. And now if, you know, under your proposal, you will build into your IRP whatever you think is appropriate, and this just is kind of eliminated?
I think that would still exist. That's in the context of the RER, where we would still need to have an ADP to get cost recovery for that. And I think sort of your question as far as, yeah, the diverging of some of these resources, the ADP process right now, it isn't really reconciling the two differences of the jurisdiction. And it's also, if we have a resource that's not approved in North Dakota, it's not put through the fuel cost rider, it's not put in the RER, and that would stay the same if this requirement were removed.
Just to further on that one, so from that 12 rate case, the requirement for the renewable rider was it had to be have an approved ADP and be in North Dakota. In 2018, I believe it is, we had some ADPs that were significant renewable additions, and I believe as a result of that case, we agreed to remove the requirement that it be in North Dakota, but the requirement that it has an approved ADP remains in the tariff for the renewable rider.
I was wondering, because I know we've talked about other ones that were outside.
Yep.
I think the other thing that I want to say is the potential for doing this, I think the best reason would be our requirement on the riders and that is there and your offer to report any additions. This whole IRP thing, I don't know that that's really the best reason, because my concern is this. It's, I think it was 2021 when we got the legislation passed on the IRPs. My understanding at the time was that we were kind of hoping to basically work through one a year, so we'd end up on kind of a 3-year rotation. Well, here we are just about 3 years later. We've had one filed, and I know staff has done things on it, but we haven't had a hearing or anything on it. And, well, now we're soon to get a second one filed, and your Minnesota one took 3 years. I just don't know that's a big factor here, because I don't know how our process is going to go on being able to keep circulating through these and being able to finalize any decisions we want to make on all these IRPs. So far,
I'm frustrated.
It's not off to a fast start, that's for sure. But no, but the other things, I think, are the better justifications for potentially doing this.
Yeah, and I, with it being the first one, I'm also interested to see how it plays out. And it is going to be an iterative process, and we'll be going through, and it's going to be refreshing, and there'll be new questions asked, and the process will play out. But yeah, I think the point is well taken as far as 3-year time frame, 3 investor-owned utilities. If you could stagger them, that would be something. And that's kind of the necessity of this, maybe in the first place, was just the time constraints and the most effective use of everybody's resources. So yeah, to maybe be able to coordinate better with the other 3 utilities, that might be definitely a good idea to do that.
And by the way, for anybody who might be listening, I'm concerned about the very small staff that we have been able to handle these, but the long process on the one that was filed originally, not our staff's fault. I mean, it was filed and then the company had significant changes and requested that we kind of hold it at bay or whatever the right term was. And so it's just not always going to go like clockwork that we're going to keep up on these and have a fresh IRP every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and that's where I think in the last Minnesota process, there was the supplements and the review period, and there'll be things that change after an IRP is filed. I think the seasonal construct, there are always things that are going to be constantly evolving. So you file an IRP with an understanding one day, and that can change week, month, a year later. So that's
accreditation stands to really change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys have in the mix, and maybe you've been factoring that their latest accreditation approach into your IRP planning, but
yeah, and that's something I know just in the context of the Sherco Solar ADP, where it's tough to look at something and assess something when you know that there's going to be something coming down the road soon, and that's where I'm not going to say that it's a living, breathing document, but I mean, it's constantly evolving. And as compared to, and if we're just going to focus solely on the benefit of the ADP, where an ADP is, it's interesting how fixed in time that is, and it's the concept of prudence on the day that it was filed, as compared to it continuing to move and evolve as maybe production tax credits or different the rulings from MISO or FERC or anybody comes along, or the EPA, whereas this is just, I'll overuse the term iterative and evolving, but that's what this would do. And it's frustrating at times as far as that it's just moving slower, but I do just think that it's probably going to be a better forum than 10 or 12 ADPs.
Well, and I think on the whole process, we have to not let perfect be the enemy of good. Like let's just get going and, you know, set up some timelines and get going reviewing it, and then we can see and adjust and, you know, have discussions and stuff. But we need to get some of that stuff rolling.
I would agree.
Anything else? Anyone?
If I may, I do have one question. And obviously staff has come forward a number of times in the past and generally supportive of these type of amendments. But one of the issues that I think led to the ADP requirement was a matter of staff resources. So before these would go through fuel cost adjustment rider or any sort of rider, we'd have the resources from staff to get consultants to take a closer look at it. Now, while I don't think it's probably necessary in all the cases, but there may be an issue that comes along that ultimately ends up in the FCR that's going to be disputed, where there may be a limitation of resources, where ultimately a subsequent filing of an ADP may be valuable for the commission to set off in a separate proceeding. Would the company be agreeable, in addition to the discretion they would have to file the ADP, to a change in the amendments that would allow us, or at the request of the commission?
I think it's something that we would definitely discuss it internally and discuss it with staff as well. I think that we like having that opportunity to file, and I think under under certain circumstances it would definitely be beneficial. And I think if it rises to something that the commission or staff would like to see, yes. I know it's something the last time around, I know that this was tried where it was a waiver. I think I'm just always mindful of creating a new process where either the commission would have to challenge us or vice versa, or just lead to some new prescriptive regulatory procedure. But I think that the commission under this IRP, there's some pretty broad powers, and I think in general, also the Century Code provides the commission a great deal of power in certain respects as well. So
sure.
I think that we'd definitely be open for discussions on that.
Right. It just seems like it'd be since there's an absolute requirement now, that if we just move it back to or at the discretion of either party, essentially the commission or the company, that would be a workable solution where we wouldn't have to do all of these. But if there is something of a specific issue that we either the company or the state feels there should be a closer look at, that we'd be able to trigger it.
Yeah, I think the blunt force instrument that it is right now, it just where we're filing all of these, it's probably not the best. So yeah, to look at it more on a case-by-case basis and to look at what that language would entail, I think we'd definitely be open for that discussion. Yeah, for sure. It would be better than what we have right now.
Thank you, Alex.
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope.
Not seeing anything. Are there any objections to the evidence produced today becoming part of the record? And by the evidence, I'm talking about the recording as well as the handouts.
No objection.
None, Chair.
Okay. So the evidence will become part of the record, upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? With that, this informal hearing is closed. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.